Welcome to Audible Interlude, a G.I. Joe podcast. I am your host, Dave West, codename Phantom Troublemaker.
And I'm your Cobra intern, whose motto is Bon Fromage Journée, codename Legion Cub.
What can I do? Oh, man, what a... So we've got to do our little intro business, but I just got to say real quick, what a fun issue.
Holy crap, yes.
So let's get our business stuff out of the way, but I can't wait to talk about this. You can follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Click the follow button. Be sure you leave a 5-star review, but most importantly, share the show. Tell your friends, put it up on socials, share it in your Instagram stories or on Blue Sky or wherever. The only way that we can grow, and this is proven because I was on top of those reels and TikToks for a good 10 weeks, like putting them out there like clockwork, and nothing. Really hasn't done anything. I think people enjoyed the reels and the TikToks, but it did not do anything for the show. And we need people to listen to the show. So I'm re-strategizing that, I suppose. And speaking of reels, follow us on Instagram at Audible Interlude Podcast. While you're there, check out the pinned stories. Go to our T Public store and get yourself some Audible Interlude merchandise. Wear it to a live event near you. If we see you, you'll get some free swag. So we've got shirts, hats, shorts. We got all kinds of stuff there. Anything that you can slap a logo on, we've got it, except wall tapestries. None of our images are high enough resolution for wall tapestries. So if you wanted, which is why the Legion Cub pillow has not been released yet. We just can't get the resolution high enough for that Cobra intern image.
I'm just too low bit.
Well, we all are. We have an Audible Army Facebook group. They recently determined the outcomes of a few different things on the shows. If you go to Audible Interlude Podcast on Instagram, shoot us a message with your email. And I hate to say it this way, we'll do our best to add you to the group. There have been some technological limitations with the way people get invited. And I've had a couple of people who just were not able to use the link or whatever. It's weird. But we'll do our best. We have this week the Audible Rumble. That's right, it's back. The third year of G.I. Joe Rumble Madness. This is a very special event where 30 characters from the history of G.I. Joe will compete to determine, you know what, we really haven't come up with a prize for this thing. They just kind of, they get recognition.
Yeah.
To get recognition. Our past winners are Rumbler and Major Blood. Rumbler, winner of the inaugural Rumble. And by the way, we do this thing like legit. Like we don't plan who's winning or eliminating or it's kind of a game we do on the fly. And this year's is going to be something a little different because Noel, you may have noticed, I haven't addressed this yet. Noel's not here tonight, although it's usually, you know, typically he's sitting here silent through this opening
That's
part.
That's true. So the partner.
Right. But yeah, Noel is not here this week. So Christian and I, you and I, we can handle a comic review ourselves. We got this. But for the Rumble, we could not handle that with just the two of us. So we have special guest Chris Scott from Grindhouse Toys. Is going to be the third man on the microphone. It's going to be an exciting time. We actually have not recorded it yet, but it will be available wherever you get your podcasts this Friday. And then our next live show, you can catch us on the Needless Things YouTube channel. Our next live show is February the 2nd, so put it on your calendars. Join us at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Hang out in the chat. Give us suggestions. Chime in about what we're talking about on the show. We love having a big, fun group hang on the Monday nights when we're live. And with that, Well, we got to talk about the reason that we're here right now, and that is G.I. Joe number 18, the Skybound Energon Universe G.I. Joe comic. We've reviewed all of them thus far, and this one, you know, we finished up Dreadnought War last time, so now we're heading off into the next path, next branch of the story, I guess is the best
way. We thought we were going to get a breather.
Yeah, well, it in a way it is, but it's not a breather as in the action let up. It's just a breather from kind of the intensity of the Dreadnought War.
Yeah, that is true.
Because it was, I mean, it was five parts, but it was a fast and furious, like, action packed. It lived up to, you know, going into it. I think we had already said, oh, it's a lot of the imagery is reminiscent of Mad Max or Fury Road or any of those movies. Mm-hmm. And it lived up to that. But now we got different business at hand, business involving Marvin's Melt. This is G.I. Joe number 18. We will be spoiling the heck out of this thing. So if you haven't read it yet, go to your local comic shop right now and get a copy. Get one of those many, many variant covers. Our writer is Joshua Williamson. Artist Marco Fodera. Colorist Lee Luffridge. And letterer Russ Wooten. So recently in the comics, the Dreadnought War concluded. The Dreadnoughts are now in Cobra Commander's Rolodex, and Zartan is Hawk. What's next?
Gasp.
Is Zartan Hawk or is Hawk Zartan? Zartan is Hawk. Because Hawk Zartan.
Does he realize that?
What if Hawk is disguised as Zartan somewhere? What a flapdoodle that would be. Even just the cover of this one felt like a fun intermission type thing. Like, it's very different from what we've been looking at. It's a singular character. It's a new character, new to the comic character. Like, right off the bat, the cover kind of said, well, this is going to be a fun time, especially with, I need a Marvin's Melts t-shirt.
Thank you. Like, honestly, his logo, Marvin giving the salute with the sandwich, right. Like the little chibi, well, not little, the big chibi Marvin, like, yeah, all of that needs to be merchandise.
I agree, and they probably won't, so that's why we rely on Audible Army members like Brett White to go in there and clean that image up and slap it on a t-shirt. even just the font of it, everything about this is fun, and obviously we're on our way there, but I mean, it presents Roadblock in a very fresh way.
Yeah,
but that feels true.
And I think that's what I mean by, and I thought it was going to let up, is the cover, even though, you know, he's got the ginormous gun, the cover just invokes this air of lightheartedness.
Yes.
And you just feel like, aww. And
well, looking at it, it almost felt to me like, because we'll post them usually, but I don't read the preview pages or anything. I want to read the comic as a whole. It's just like with a trailer. I don't want too much of the movie, you know? So, yeah, I didn't look at the preview pages. Honestly, I kind of thought like, well, this may literally be like the movie Chef, but with Roadblock. Which, by the way, if you haven't watched the Jon Favreau movie Chef, it's a perfect film. One of the few perfect movies. So check it out. Amazing soundtrack. All right. So let's get into the comic. And we open up not with Roadblock, but with Hawk, who is, did you catch this, like, noticeably adjusting his face?
Yes. I was like, oh, he's still, like, picking at his eye. Area.
I thought just pushing it back into place, like he remasked and, like, you know, which is a great touch and a great callback to recent events. And he's asking Flint if Flint knows about Roadblock, and the rest of the page is Flint talking about Roadblock.
Well, I put in my notes here, Flint all of a sudden turned into 80s Duke. because Hawk is asking him about Roblox, and Flint's response is, "I never served with Marvin R. Hinton." Like, really, Duke? Yeah, really, Duke? Really? Boy Scout material there, using his full legal name.
That is an F.
Oh, that's an F. Sorry.
I only say it because I know we'll hear about it.
We will get corrected, yes. Let me pull my image up some more.
So that's I've finally gotten my PDF reader to sit at a default of like 120. Because forever it would open up at 75 and I couldn't tell what anything was. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Where is he the best heavy gunner in the world? Firepower almost as dangerous as his temper, which that was the first thing that I was like, that's new. I don't remember Roadblock. Matter of fact, if anything, Roadblock has been kind of calm, cool, collected.
Right.
So that was new. And one of the things I loved about this comic, and my note saying this is later down the line, but I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. There's a lot of, I don't know what to call it, but like 2-page ahead foreshadowing in this comic. Like it's very like right there when he says firepower was almost as dangerous as his temper, because we understand the language of Joshua Williamson's storytelling. You know, when Flint says that, oh, I guess we're going to see that temper at some point.
Uh-huh.
Like he's setting it up. He sets him up and he knocks him down. And it happens all throughout this where you'll see one little thing in a panel or a couple of words and you're like, oh, I know what's getting ready to happen here. And it's very satisfying when it does. Like it's a very, he's got a very smart payoff system in that way. So apparently Roadblock, Energon Universe Roadblock, has served and retired and is now just running a food truck called Marvin's Melts out of Biloxi, Mississippi. So we've talked about this a little bit as we've been doing these reviews, but I like that these characters aren't all kids.
Yes.
They have lived lives. They have stories. They've served. It's not like the team startup book. Like it's not like Power Rangers, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I've compared this to the other issues where we have met, you know, the members of Night Force, and it's all also been very, when I say solo story, I don't mean, you know, cause obviously Beachhead had Flint and Lady J in it. Like each one has had other characters, but it's sort of like these members of Night Force are kind of existing on their own. And yeah, this, where you see all the happy people, you know, at the tables, you see the kids playing, and then it pulls out into that wide shot of the courtyard. I'm like, oh, this is different. This is Roadblock has like a life outside of all of his, well, I guess I can't say Joe life because it wasn't a Joe yet, but right, out of the military, like he has what I would assume are regular customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a known person here. It just evokes this totally different feel from, say, again, like the Shooter issue or the Beachhead issue.
Well, and really what they've been doing with these in-between stories, I mean, this is basically Roadblock's miniseries. He didn't get 4 or 5 issues or whatever, but this is his miniseries. Same thing with Beachhead.
Fair, like, yep.
Rather than having what we had before, where the miniseries led into the main title, now in-between story arcs, we're getting, you know, single issue miniseries for characters that are important enough to warrant an issue, but that maybe don't need that much. And at this point, this is all kind of going through my head right now as it's occurring to me. So we needed those miniseries initially because we had to introduce not just these characters, but this world.
Right.
So Duke and Cobra Commander and Destro and Scarlet were yeah, we're introducing the characters, but we're establishing the world, and it takes more time to do that. Now the world is established, so when they introduce a new character, they don't need that many issues, because we've already got our roots into this Energon universe. Like, we're here. So it's really, it's the same thing. It just doesn't take as much, as many pages now, because so much of the work has been done. All right. So just serving up melts. And can I tell you, so we've got a, are you familiar with Freddy's?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got, it's, I guess it's, to me, it's like a half step above fast food. Like, it's not mm-hmm. really, I don't equate it with Wendy's and McDonald's and all that, but it's also not, I don't know. It's, but it's good. And their patty melt with some onion rings, right now, I'm starting to salivate just thinking about it. And as soon as he set four melts with fries for lunch, oh, I wanted to go over to Freddy's so bad. Oh, I love, I don't know what it is. I love food truck narratives. There's something very charming about that food truck life. So anyway, as you said, we get this great huge shot of, you know, any kind of meeting place, because there are food trucks all around here. What was funny to me, my food truck experience is they do not leave the food truck. Like, you go to the food truck, you get your food, and you take it wherever you're going to eat.
Yeah.
Like, they don't walk out. But one, that is literally my limited experience just right here in Metro Atlanta. I don't know how they do in Biloxi, Mississippi. And also, for the story to work, he had to be in and out of that food truck. So I think him delivering this to these customers is normalizing him not just standing in the truck
mm-hmm.
to set up for the next meeting he's about to have. Because my first thought was, well, that's weird that he's taking the food out. Who's taking orders while he's delivering that food to those people?
You know what? It didn't even click with me. But then when you said it, I was thinking about when the cadavers were down and Gilbert and I took them to some food trucks down at Disney. And yeah, absolutely. They yell your name. You go back to the truck and you get your food.
Yeah. But also, over the course of this issue, it's established what kind of person Marvin is. And he is the kind of guy that's going to bring you your food if he's got the time to do it.
Yeah.
He wants to see the look on your face when he gives you that delicious food that he just made. So, just being a super sweet guy, no sign of a temper thus far, which is only making the anticipation that much better, you know? So just a couple of pages of him being a congenial, helpful. He helps a lady bring her, another food truck, bring her supplies in, just being a wonderful guy. So, and then we get, on the fifth narrative page in our copy, he's just happy as can be in the window of his food truck. And his greeting: welcome to Marvin's Melts. How can I help you have a cheesy day? And
I
just
love it. I mean, I'm just smiling right now. It just makes you feel warm inside.
Just thinking of Roadblock, just saying that, being like that, It's a little bit of a new spin on the character, but it just adds so much. Like, this is a guy that's not only, like, he came up with that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's even making him say that. He loves saying it every time he says it.
Uh-huh.
And this surprised the heck out of me. Next page, it's Tomax and Zaymot.
When I tell you that there was, I had a literal record skip moment. And did a double take.
I see what you did there. I said, whoa, when I was reading it just out loud. Because I did not, honestly, I didn't really expect Cobra to be in this at all. I kind of thought it would be Roadblock dealing with his own something or other.
Because in all the previous Night Force issues, it hasn't involved Cobra. Even the one with Beachhead with the bats was that old rich guy buying one. So,
well, and it was, and it was at the end, it was because it was the Bloodhounds.
True. But I also feel like we haven't.
I guess that it started with Cobra, like right up front.
Yeah. Well, and we haven't got a lot of Tomax and Zaymot play. Like, really, since the regular series has started, they've sort of been in the background. And so I always think of them, you know, as these business guys. And so to see them in a food truck area just caught me off guard.
Well, you know what? As you're saying that, how I think of them is they're busy doing evil corporate things. We're just not seeing them. They're just as vital to what's going on with Cobra, but their story just isn't where the action is right now.
Right. They're behind the scenes guys.
Right. Well, or they're off doing this.
Yes.
Trying to recruit someone for, and I know you were just as delighted as I was when they said they want Marvin to represent their new business venture from Extensive Enterprises. Took a long, I have some issues with this verbiage. This drives me crazy. And look, it's a big deal to me, and that's it. And that doesn't matter. But I hope you understand, we came a long way to come here. You couldn't tighten that up to I hope you understand, we traveled a long way to come here. Like, came a long way to come here. It hurts my head, but that's me being nitpicky. Took time out of our busy schedule. Very busy, but we appreciate you finally agreeing to speak with us. We're huge fans, so I've heard. And that's another shocker is, wait, they have a familiarity?
Well, and the way they drew Roadblock in that panel, like, we have seen him smiley happy.
Right.
Through since the first panel he's been on. And we're still not seeing a temper, but his arms are crossed. And without over exaggerating, you can just see this look of like annoyance on his face.
It's very, yeah, what?
Yeah. Which again, so to your point, when he said, so I've heard, it again made me go, wait a minute, what? What is going on here? Because he knows who they are.
Right.
People shouldn't know who they are.
And that's even more surprising than them knowing who he is and specifically being there for him. And then we get this great flashback page of, oh, this, where we dropped into the middle of a story. We've dropped into the middle of the 80s action movie. Mm-hmm. Where the retired army guy is just trying to have a normal life and the bad guys won't leave him alone. Like, we dropped into the middle of that. So we've got these three great panels of Extensive Enterprise representatives meeting with Roadblock. And it gets progressively more violent because it's, and I love that there's a progression. It's not all equally severe. It starts with him spraying somebody with a hose. Second guy that comes along, he's a little more irritated, so he basically kicks this guy in half. I think the drawing is meant to say he's kicking his butt like out the door or away or whatever,
right? But I totally had this is Roadblock moment with it.
And then the third one, he's putting somebody's head in the fryer, which
priceless.
It's brutal. it's over the top, but also I got to think that's a health code violation.
Maybe it made me laugh. I literally laughed out loud when I got to that panel. Like, what are we doing?
We're back and we've got a closer look at his face above his crossed arms, where he's looking slightly more annoyed. And he says what they were was rude. And Tomax and Zaymot kind of try and cover up and say, oh, we shouldn't have sent those guys. We should have come directly to you because we want you to be the face of our new brand of food truck. And this is where I know you and I felt probably equal delight. Red Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Just such a nice callback. It doesn't feel like gratuitous.
Right.
It makes sense.
It wasn't forced.
Right.
It just blended right in. If you know, you know. And if you didn't.
Right. And that's the worst kind of fan service, is something that is so big that it takes people who aren't familiar out of the story, like wondering, right, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Roadblock explains, this is what I want to be doing. I don't care about money. I just want to be hanging out here, giving people good food, making people happy, bringing people together. Like, he's living the life. And then we get a flashback of Roadblock's past, which is more the Roadblock we know, with the big 50 caliber blasting stuff, looking dramatic. And they tell the story of a soldier who was unhappy with the state of the world, the things you were seeing, you wanted a change. So kind of your disillusioned guy, mm-hmm, who wants out. And again, they offer him big money, and they're so annoying because they're corporate, that deal-making way of acting as though the deal is closed before it is.
Right.
Like this, where they say, of course we have a deal.
Right. And
the presumption of them in this page.
I had this in my notes much later on, but I felt this way throughout the whole story. This is the smarmiest, I feel like, that we have seen of Tomax and Zaymot. Like, they were wicked in Destro's miniseries because it was them, you know, pitted against Destro. But here, it's very much that, that you salesman. I don't know, just like everything they say just got under my skin. Like, I can't wait for Roblox to just haul off and hit one of them.
Yeah.
Because they need it.
That's another part of why this is so well written is, you know, while we're reading these guys, and I think the difference here is all the past interactions we've seen with the twins were either with their soldiers, their employees, who they have no regard for whatsoever, or with people they were competing with and saw as contemporaries.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are dealing with somebody that they just want to employ. It's a different tone. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that change in approach. Like, I think that's intentional. I think you picked up on something that was absolutely, like, there for a reason, because we're in a different situation now. The whole time they're being smarmy in the back of your head, you're just thinking, temper, that temper's coming. I don't know when. It might be when he puts his soft corporate hand out. But it's not. He just says, nah. And I love the nonchalance, the casualness of nah, not, no thank you, not, like, he's mm-hmm. done. He's yep. done. That's all he's got for him, is that nah. And of course they can't believe it. And this is where, again, you know, we've had stages of, oh, it's the twins and they're familiar with Roadblock. And Roadblock's familiar with them. And then beyond Roadblock being familiar with them, He also knows, like, that they're even more evil.
Uh-huh.
Like, he has that knowledge beyond. But he says, you use your Red Rocket food trucks as recruiting tools for your little cult, and I ain't about that. So, like, he may not know Cobra, but he is aware of what Cobra is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that was my second big record scratch moment.
And that, another of that brilliant storytelling of, you know, we've heard Cobra Commander and Destro talk about the level that Cobra is at right now, right? Like, we've heard them talk about it. G.I. Joe treats it like a threat. But this is the first time we've seen somebody from the outside who has made mention of how big Cobra is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is actually a huge moment of, like, whoa, Cobra's presence, you know, as Cobra Commander and Destro have said, Cobra's presence is known. I don't know if the regular folks have a name for it yet, but they're achieving what they want to achieve. And this is such a subtle way of demonstrating it from the outside of the narratives we've been seeing. So anyway, he says, I ain't about that. So enjoy your meal. It's on the house. And just is done with them. And then, of course, they, you know, as these folks do, get snooty and start talking about how the food's not good enough. And then the threat. And this is where you get behind a tree and start rubbing your hands together, because now you know, oh, it's coming. So you're going to regret this, Marvin, sooner than you think. And they hop in their fancy red convertible sports car and drive off. And as soon as they're gone, and this, you've said record scratch, that's what this was for me, because Crimson Stinger is something I hadn't even, I don't think it's been done.
I don't think so either.
But now I want one. Now I want one. And we know they've already got the gun for it, because it's the Ram Gatling gun. The only problem is they'd have to mount it on there somehow. But I'll tell you right now, this did not come up in our 2026 possibilities.
No.
Because it's never been done before. And I'll tell you, so I've talked about how, like, a Tiger Sting, like, I don't want any more classified vehicles, but if they did a Tiger Sting, that would be really cool and I would buy it. Because out of classified, I just really love the Tiger Force stuff. We talked about just, you know, just doing Python Patrol, whatever, like all the repaints you could do. But I would almost rather see stuff like this that we have not seen before. Because part of the issue with classified, like I talked about this with the Rattler, I've already got Rattlers.
Right.
And I don't really want just a big Rattler. But if you do something that's cool but different, that makes it a little more compelling to me. That may not be the case for everybody, but, like, if this Crimson Stinger pops up on Pulse tomorrow, I'm buying it. Because it just looks great. And it's literally in, like, it's the red of the Crimson Guard.
Yeah.
But it's all even got the things over the wheels are, like, silverish.
Well, so it's just one thing the twins know how to do. It's theming.
That is very true. That was on their resume for a Cobra Commander. We love a good theme. And he was like, oh, so do I. But it's really cool seeing this vehicle drive in, but then the Crimson Guards in action. And this is, it's just presenting the Crimson Guards in a different way than what they've ever been in my head. And I appreciate it, because they've really branched it off to where these are Tomax and Zaymod's troops, period.
Yeah.
So they jump out, they say minimum casualties, but let's ruin some lives, which is pretty reprehensible. And they just start shooting into all the people that are in this food court area. And the first thing Roadblock says, well, the first thing he does is knock one of these guys out about as hard as Road Pig's hammer hitting Cobra Commander's head. And says, what is wrong with you? And I love that. It's not a clever line. It's not a soundbite. It's not a tough guy line, right? Mm-hmm. It is, what is wrong with you? And that's the moment we've been waiting for. The temper is lost.
Justifiably so.
Oh, absolutely. So he is easily handling the three Crimson Guards that jumped out of the Crimson Sting or whatever we're going to call it. And Roadblock's yelling at him. This ain't a war zone. Throwing them all over the place. And then we see that. So this, if you haven't read this issue, which, what are you doing if you haven't? Please read it. It's great. It's just a red vamp stinger, whatever. But it has it's basically the Gatling gun from the Ram mounted on the top in place of any kind of missile firing system. Which kind of makes more sense if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's about to take Crimson Guards up there manning that Gatling gun cannon thing. And then Roadblock picks up the vehicle. Like, picks up one side and flips it over.
I love that. Your little food truck is... What the...
And
again, because it's not... It wasn't what I was expecting, but as soon as he did it, I was, like, hearing the A-Team theme.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking. And it is. I mean, this would be... you know, 80s action movie episode of any 80s TV show, Chips, A-Team, anything. Like, this is, we've seen this so many times, and it's just so good to have worked this kind of narrative into Joe. So he flips the Jeep over, kicks the Crimson Guard in the head, and is done with that little skirmish, and didn't break a sweat.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's not just about the fact that he handled this armed vehicle and these four presumably very well-trained soldiers. It's that he really didn't struggle at all doing it. Can't wait to see him run into Road Pig. It's going to be a slobber knocker. So then he looks over, sees the gun has come off the top of the vehicle. And we just get a single panel of that thing just laying on the ground, looking like it just wants to be picked up and used. So the twins are driving away. They get stuck at
Real quick, I want to say, so that moment was such a perfect bookend, right? Because that's pretty much the end of the page. I thought I am going to turn the page and we will have jumped ahead. You know, there's Roadblock with Flint, Lady J. Did not expect what was coming next at all. Even had to read. Well, I'll let you describe it.
Yeah. So the twins are in their sports car, stopped at a traffic light, and we get them talking about what's next. And they say, since Roadblock turned us down, what about that guy with the beach shirts? Which, I mean, you got to assume is a Chuckles reference.
Yep.
But interesting that they have, you know, we haven't even seen anything about Chuckles yet. So this is just a very, you know, this is how these things get dropped in. But behind, we're looking into the car behind the twins. What they don't see coming is Roadblock's food truck coming up very fast behind them and just rams them.
And just, I had to read that page twice because I was so like, oh, wait, the story's still going. And I was so, again, they're dialogue is just so elitist, and I was so hung up on just the two of them, I did not notice
the truck
panel. The food truck was getting closer and closer. I literally turned the page, wham, and I was like, "What the?"
Well, it hurt my heart a little bit that he crashed his truck.
True.
But that's that temper, and I think it's demonstrating that when the temper has been lost, bad things happen.
Yep.
The decision-making maybe isn't as good. So they get run into from behind, basically full speed, and then end up running into a light pole. They're both a little disoriented for a minute, and Roadblock steps out. And this is the first, I believe, the first suggestion of a asterisked out curse word being the F-bomb.
Yeah, because most of the time we've had anything similar, it's been with the Cobra team, and they just put the Cobra symbols in there. Yeah. You're right.
I think this is the harshest censored language we've seen in yet. So he says, you can mess with me. You can come at me with as much as you want. I can take it. And Tomax and Zaymot panicking, trying to get some blasters out of the trunk there. But Roadblock is furious because there were families back there, hardworking people who just want to share their love of food with people. He is furious. And he has walked around to the back of his food truck and busted out the roof-mounted cannon that he has brought along. And tell me about the looks on Tomax and Zaymot's faces.
The sheer, like, it's the perfect mixture of panic and surprise. They are slack-jawed because they know how much that gun weighs. They know how deadly that gun can be. And I took this as as much at the beginning of the issue where they were acting like they knew Roadblock, they didn't really know what he was capable of.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys' flabbers are thoroughly gassed in this panel. So Roadblock just starts firing, which I will say I'm a little concerned about, because there's civilians around. This is even worse decision making than ramming their car. But we're in an 80s action movie, so that's how it goes.
I choose to believe he has really good aim and a steady arm.
So Tomax, the Paoli twins know that they're in trouble. And they got to get out of there. Fortunately for them, the Crimson Stinger shows up, and they dive in the back screaming at their whichever. Notice all of the Crimson Guards aren't there.
Yeah.
A couple of them didn't make it. And as they drive off, Roadblock, this great, great panel. You come back here in any way, shape, or form, and you'll be eating out of a tube. And there's a wheel rolling by him, wreckage in the background, shell casings all over the ground. Like, it's just a really cool dynamic.
Yeah, the shell casings totally won me over this whole issue, where we get to see, you know, every time that gun, that Gatling gun, is being shot, we just see a multitude of shells flying around. And it's a nice sort of change of pace from the Energon lasers, because this is a gun.
And again, it's outside of that bubble we've been in.
Right.
And this makes it that feel even more that way.
Yeah.
So we get Marvin driving the food truck back to the food court, and the Noel is not here. So I will say it, the onomatopoeia of it's so perfect. You could just hear that thing making, like, movie sounds are in your head right now of exactly what that squeak, 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 doom, poof, like, you know exactly what that's expressing. It's so perfectly captured. So Roadblock is shocked because now we're getting the page that Christian mentioned before.
Right.
So we see Flint and Lady J seated at the table. Okay. Oh no. They're repairing things.
Yeah. Cause this one kid said
me before
your friends helped us. So,
and I caught that part, but on my first read, I thought Flint and Lady J were just sitting at the table. As a matter of fact, I thought she had like a food she'd just gotten somewhere. And I was confused by this welder and what the heck they were doing. But now I realize Flint's got work gloves on and is holding this in place for the welder to work on. And Lady J is just carrying some, like, my brain didn't put that together the first time.
I just assumed that is Beachhead because his face has to be covered.
It could be.
So
Marvin shocked that, you know, friends are there, but more shocked that cops are not there. And Shooter shows up, and we find out that Shooter and Roadblock know each other. So she says they took care of things. They have ways of keeping it quiet. And he is so happy to see Shooter. He says, "How can I help you have a cheesy day?" Which would also be good on a shirt. Or that would be on the back of the Marvin's Melt shirt. And, you know, not keeping track of page numbers as I read through, I kind of thought that might be it.
Same here. I thought we were
and
done.
It's not. We get more Cobra at this point in the story, and actually lots of big, big stuff. So we're in Springfield, Cobra headquarters, and Mercer, somewhat shockingly, likes the Dreadnoughts.
Yeah.
Chameleon Surprise. Is not thrilled about them. She thinks they're disgusting, but Mercer says they add color. Which, okay, fair enough. And then Destro, and I'm sorry, there's just no other way to say this. Destro is having a conversation with Cobra Commander and just lying his ass off. So we all know Destro was, you know, played a significant role in the attempted coup and then claimed control of Cobra. But here he's saying, okay, I'm just going to read it. "I'm glad we got to you in time, Commander. I had no idea Ripper planned to betray you like that, but I'm surprised you managed to form an alliance with the people who wished to kill you." And we know, like, even though he doesn't say anything there that's that garnished, it's all, like, the biggest lie he says is, "I had no idea Ripper planned to betray you." That's the big lie. But everything else, just, you can hear the deceptive voice he'd be saying that.
Mm-hmm. Because at the end of last issue, it did seem like he got away with it, right? Like him and Cobra Commander are shaking hands, like, "Oh, you saved me. Thank you. Fist bump, buddy pal."
But that's not our status quo. So we had to do a little work here, do a little storytelling here to get us back to where we all know Cobra should be. So Cobra Commander just kind of drops the what we talked about at the end of the last issue, where he got a better look at how Duke operates and the choices that he'll make. And that it's dangerous times. And they kind of have a little back and forth about how valuable they are to each other. And Cobra Commander, this kind of shocked me. Cobra Commander says, "You're someone I believe I can call friend."
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so, and at that point, it starts to feel more like, okay, this is the relationship we're expecting. But it gets even clearer because when Destro leaves, you know, after they're friends, they're pals, Destro leaves the room and Cobra Commander, who, by the way, has a completely new hand, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, does that line he says, knowing that how you don't like body horror, because it completely gave me the icks.
Oh, yeah. Gross me earlier out.
When he says, now I make repairs to my flesh.
Yeah, horrifying. Like, just, don't like it. Don't like it. But that's exactly what he's doing. So he talks to the hand.
Yeah.
And says protocol 61 blood 36 hours ago. And of course, we know what Major Blood was talking about 36 hours ago. And we see a recording of Destro's conversation about Cobra is mine. And I think, I don't know that I mentioned it here, but I know I've been thinking about it ever since Major Blood got these eyes, is of course Cobra Commander put monitoring devices in them.
So
it, like, we've talked about that, right?
No, I don't think we have, because it never crossed my mind.
That was my big thought, is like, well, now he's...
this moment. As soon as he said Protocol 61 blood 36 hours ago, I had a, how did you miss this? Of course.
I see. I thought we had talked about it, because when he, maybe I didn't say that specifically, but when he got the eyes put in, I remember thinking, well, now he's totally under Cobra Commander's control.
I think we did talk about that, but I think I took it more as like a loyalty, you know, you're indebted to him.
Right. Kind well, of and thing. They had that conversation about, no, you know, those are your eyes. You just, you know, work for me. And well, no, nothing has changed, but everything has changed because. Mm-hmm. So Cobra Commander sees that whole conversation between Destro, Major Blood, well, all of his lieutenants, and says, friend indeed. And the issue ends with Cobra, as I said, back at the status quo we know. So did you take a look at the letters at all?
I did. So a couple of comments from them letting us know that the response to Raptor was huge, so they're coming up with more plans for him. That they did drop a major hint in this issue for the last member of Night Force.
Yeah, I thought about when I read it, I thought about that, because I was that in the first letter. Oh no, it's in the Joshua Williamson's first comment.
Mm-hmm.
Where he says, except for another member that was teased earlier and will be revealed a few months from now. And that's, I mean, I feel like we've caught every tease, not necessarily what it was teasing, you know what I mean? But we've caught like, oh, that's a little, but I just couldn't think of anything when I read this.
Well, speaking of things that we've discussed manifesting, they also mentioned in the very last letter that they are working on, they've got some stories planned for the background of Cobra Law and the history of Cobra Law. So, but we've got to do some Energon hunting next. So,
you know what occurs to me? What if this is a time loop kind of thing? Because isn't Cobra Commander's hand, does it remind you of anything else in the Energon universe? Like, as it's evolving?
Oh my gosh. I mean,
surely not.
Right. But listeners, if you're not reading Void Rivals, you should be.
Yeah. Wow. So, excellent issue. Great little break in between the arcs, but mm-hmm. really just read like it was one of those where you could see the action. I mean, these all have been, but it was total 80s action movie. Great stuff. Super fun. The next issue will come out on February the 18th. Our review will be available that day. As I said, check out Audible Interlude Podcast on Instagram. Our music is by Andy Samford of ElectricMinnowMusic.com. Christian, where can we find that toy photography you do so well?
You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky under the name Legion Cub.
And for Noel, check out the finest G.I. Joe costuming group at thefinestcc.com. Our next live stream is on the Needless Things YouTube channel February 2nd. Put it on your calendar. Until then, yo, Joe.
Cobra. Boom, 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 boom.
You have been listening to a Needless Things production. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for the very best in toys, movies, music, and pop culture. Until next time, be kind and like what you like.